Good morning. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Riley, Judge Flory, the Honorable Jennifer Frisch presiding.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is March 17, 2021. We have three cases on our oral calendar this morning. We're here on our first matter. It's A20-1115 State versus Khalif. Counsel, I'll just ask that you mute your microphone if you're not speaking. The marshal is showing a running clock of your time. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your primary argument, and the appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. I'd ask that you identify yourself before you begin speaking. These proceedings are being recorded. And counsel, with that, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Amber Johnson. I represent the appellant in this matter, Mr. Abdi Fattah Khalif. My client was born in a Somali refugee camp in Ethiopia. His family lived in a hut composed of sticks and cloth. He had little food and poor water. In 2008, an organization came and his mother was allowed to apply for refugee status to the United States. She interviewed and provided information about the conditions that her children were living in and the needs that they had, information relevant to refugee status. In 2015, the family's dreams came true and they were accepted as refugees into the United States. My client's mother, Ms. Mohammed, was given travel documents that included the identities of each of her family members who were traveling with her, their names, birth dates, and identification numbers. Once she got to the United States, she found that she had a January 1st birthday, according to the US government. Her husband also had a January 1st birthday. Her eldest son had a January 1st birthday. Her next three daughters had a January 1st birthday. My client had a January 1st birthday. And his younger brother. They moved to Minnesota. My client went to school, started to learn English. He eventually went to high school and ran track. And then he was accused of rape. And for the first time in his life, it mattered what day he was actually born. And that's why we're here today, because it does matter what day Mr. Khalif was actually born into this world. I'm asking this court to find that the district court's findings of facts and application of law were clearly erroneous. The court should rule in my favor because the district court clearly erred in its omission, selection, reliance, and contradictory application of the facts in its decision. The state's burden was to prove that Mr. Khalif was 18 years of age at the time of the offense, which was April 21st, 2019. The standard requires that the fact is more likely to be true than the contrary fact. And if the facts are equally balanced, the fact has not been established by the preponderance of the evidence.
So counsel, this record contains a number of examples demonstrating the birth date on January 1st, 2001. There's DVS records, there's an interview with the police, there was a permanent residence card, there were ICE documents, there were school records, and even the dad said that son was born even a year prior, right? So there is evidence of the birth date of January 1, 2001. The evidence of a different birth date was based in large part on testimony that the district court found not to be credible, which is within its discretion. So I'm having a hard time understanding where the clear error is.
With regards to the repetition of January 1st, 2001 in different documents, those different documents and the fact that the appellate used that birth date should not be used as evidence that he was born on that birth date. He was simply reciting the birth date that he was assigned by the U.S. government in his immigration documents. If he had used a different birth date, there presumably would have been problems with him being able to do anything because it didn't match up with his immigration documents and he couldn't leave it blank. So the fact that he just recited, it's just a derivative of the assigned birth date, which there's been no evidence presented is based off of any belief of when Mr. Khalif's actual birthday was. Now, you're right.
I mean, that's not entirely fair, because there was a point in time when he wanted to run track for another year, and he said that his birthday was something else, and he never did anything about it.
That's true. And the court does raise the issue that timing-wise, when he first began to contest that his actual birthday wasn't January 1st, 2001, was after we filed this motion. But it wasn't an issue that arose until he was charged with a crime where it actually mattered how old he was. And yes, my client did use poor judgment in trying to go back to his assistant principal, associate principal, and try to see if he could get another year of eligibility with track. But that doesn't carry any weight as to whether or not January 1st, 2001 is his actual birthday.
So let's go back to my original question about the abuse of discretion by the district court, because this is an evidentiary ruling. So in light of, and I understand your point that perhaps the district court should not have given as much weight as it did to the repetition of the January 1, 2001 birth date, but there is that evidence in the record. And then the competing evidence in the record was, again, based on credibility determinations that the district court made. Tell me where the clear error is.
I think the clear error can be with either the credibility determinations of the defense witnesses or the fact that the court dismissed their testimony in entirety because the court found one thing that they didn't find credible. The appellant does not have to prove that he was born on October 8th, 2002.
Case law that the court of an appellate court overrules the district court's credibility determinations?
I do not have any. Although I will say the determination was about particular testimony and not necessarily the other testimony that was provided by each of these witnesses. So when it comes to testimony, and I would like to just point out the court did not find that Mr. Ahmed was not credible. The court dismissed his testimony in entirety because it was hearsay, which I think is a clear error. Because one, everybody's birth date is hearsay to some degree, but he didn't just say that he heard when he was born from his mother that was why he believed that he was older than Mr. Khalif. He also talked about why he had that belief, the experiences that he had in the camp with Mr. Khalif growing up, playing soccer, interacting with him, that he believed he was younger. And he's always believed that. And that's not hearsay. And that's not relying on hearsay. That's his experiences. And the court did not take that testimony into consideration whatsoever. He also did provide that his government assigned birthday is January 1st, 2002, which makes it relevant and provides evidence that the appellate was born in 2002. And once again, I have to show evidence that the appellate was not 18. And if he were born in 2002, no matter what the date was, he would not have been 18 on April 21st, 2019.
So, counsel, how do you get around your client's admission then that he was 18 at the time the offense occurred?
When he was asked how old he was? He was just reciting what his assigned birth date was, what he has been doing for the last 5 years since he's been in this country.
So the court committed clear error by accepting his admission that he was 18 at the time of this offense?
Yes, I would say that it did, because the court had ample evidence. And that is one other error that the court made, is the court purposefully omitted evidence from the state's witnesses regarding this phenomenon of January 1st birthdays being highly prevalent amongst Somali refugees.
But the state didn't have to prove his birthday was January 1st. They only had to provide evidence, a preponderance of the evidence, that he was 18 or older at the time of the offense. So it seems like, to some extent, the January 1st is somewhat of a red herring in the whole thing, because, you know, that's not something the state had to prove by a preponderance of the evidence.
I agree that the state doesn't have to prove that he was born on January 1st, 2001. But how do you prove somebody is 18 years of age? You start with the birth date. And then either they're 17 years, 11 months and 30 days, 31 days old, or they're not, or they're over that. The state offered this birth date, and it is derived from a government assigned birth date, which the facts support from all witnesses. There's no evidence that was submitted by the state that corroborated that the defendant was 18 years of age or older on April 21st, 2019. The only evidence that they supplied was his birth date on his immigration documents, which was assigned by the United States government. To the contrary, the defense, the appellant, provided testimony. Some of it was, credibility issues. Once again, reiterating my position that you can find some testimony not credible, but there could be other testimony that is credible. The defense brought witnesses that established that there was a good possibility that the defendant was born in 2002. Whether or not his birthday was established, that it was October 8th, 2002.
Well, let's talk about the birth certificate.
Yes.
The rule provides 901 that testimony from a witness with knowledge to provide evidence that the matter in question is what it's claimed to be. And I don't see that you provided that. It was all double and triple hearsay with regard to how and where the person allegedly procured that birth certificate.
That is correct. It was the factual basis that Ms. Mohammed provided as to how she obtained the birth certificate was that she asked somebody to get it for her, told her how to do it. It was obtained, and then it was transmitted to her through another person.
She couldn't say the names of the people who were involved in that, in getting the birth certificate or getting it to her, right?
Right. That is correct. When it comes to the credibility of the witnesses for the defense, I do want to point out that, and I noted in my brief, that I think the court in this case can rule that there is clear error in dismissing and finding the defense witnesses not credible, because the court relies on this idea that the evidence to establish how somebody remembers something has to fit in with the parameters that they find acceptable. But, and pointed out, is that how can my client's mother, Ms. Mohammed, remember a date if she can't read or write, or if she doesn't remember the day her husband was born? She told the court how she remembered the date. She remembered it because there was a ceremony, and then she counted the days from the ceremony, and she took note of what date the ceremony was. She did the same thing for the son that she had after, Hamze, and she had a doctor's appointment, and she took note of the dates after. Because she didn't do that, or there wasn't, when her husband died 7 or 8 years prior to that, doesn't mean that she didn't take note of those days. And it's a very reasonable thing for a person to do who can't read and write to remember what date something happened in correlation to a date that they know. I mean, I do it. Everybody does it. You know, oh, that happened 3 days after Christmas. it's how people remember things. And it's a rational explanation that should have been considered more carefully by the court than it was. Ultimately, the state has provided no evidence that of Mr. Khalif's actual birth date. And the defense has provided some evidence of his birth year, or that he wasn't actually 18 at the time of the offense. The state failed to meet its burden. And in the very least, it's equal, because we know no birth date is 100% true based on the evidence. So if they cannot establish his birth date, they cannot establish that he was 18 unless they show that there's a reasoning for that outside of the government assigned birth date. And for that reason, the court should find that they did not meet their burden.
All right, thank you, counsel. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Anytime you're ready, counsel.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. Your honors, my name is Brittany Luana, and I'm an assistant Hennepin County attorney appearing on behalf of the state. I'll mainly rest on the arguments raised in my brief and raised below, but would point out that the standard of review here is an abuse of discretion standard, and counsel cannot establish that there was a clearly erroneous finding of fact or that the credibility determinations should be reversed. Additionally, the preponderance of the evidence standard does not require the state to show an actual birth date. It just needs to show that the defendant was over 18 at the time of the offense. Counsel states that the first time it mattered, he stated he was under 18. But the first time it mattered was when he applied for school, when he was applying and his dad wrote down that he was born on January 1st of 2001. The defendant himself stated that that was his birthday and that he was 18. So the district court properly took those documents and those prior dates in consistency, the consistency of those dates, as well as the defendant's own words into consideration, and properly denied appellant's motions to dismiss and the motion challenging subject matter jurisdiction and the denied the birth certificate. Unless there are further questions from this court, I would rest on the brief.
Anything else?
Nothing here.
All right, thank you very much, counsel. Ms. Johnson, hold on 1 second while we reset the clock here. There we go, anytime you're ready.
Your Honor, honors, the school documents, that was filled out by the father on February 24th. That is 9 days after he came into this country, where he could not read or write and did not know English. To put any weight on the fact that he gave the green card and showed them the birth date is ridiculous. And it does not say that the father says that he was born on January 1st, 2001. It simply says that he provided them the green card assigned birth date to the school 9 days after he enters the country, and he can't speak or write or understand English. And the court does acknowledge that in its finding of facts, that the father cannot do that. And he probably had to be helped with filling out the form. Once again, the state does not have to prove he was born on January 1st, 2001, but they do have to establish that he was 18. And the only evidence that they have trying to establish that is the government assigned birth date. And they have not provided any evidence that was based on any sort of accurate information of when the defendant was actually born.
I didn't think your client's dad testified at the hearing, did he?
He did not testify. That would come from the part about him not being able to read or write was supplied by Ms. Walker when asked, well, if he can't read and write, what happens? So the question is whether there is any point in time that the state can, that is credible, that the state can use under the statute to say that my client was 18 years old at the time of the offense. They haven't offered any information or evidence that his birth year was 2001. They haven't offered any evidence that they haven't found anybody who knew him, who knew when he was born. They are just simply resting on the government assigned birthday. And that's an arbitrary date. This statute is days. If you are under 18 by one day, you are under the juvenile jurisdiction. My client deserves the same treatment. And even if the court finds that the court did not abuse its discretion in the credibility of the witnesses provided by the defense, we still have a case where the January 1st birth date is not credible, contrary to what the court concludes. It is not a credible birth date. It cannot be a date that measures when the defendant was turned 18 years of age. And so we have no, maybe the evidence is equally balanced because there's no evidence of anything, because the defense evidence was dismissed and not found credible in any way. I argue that wasn't appropriate. And there's clear evidence that the January 1st, 2001 birth date is not credible. We have no credible evidence. We have no credible evidence. It's balanced. And the state did not prove their burden. They did not meet the burden of the preponderance of the evidence.
All right. Anything else? Thank you very much, counsel. We will take the matter under advisement and issue an opinion within the statutory time period.